Let's take our Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 15, familiar passage of Scripture. To you, I know. I want to look at verse 15 and verse 20, and then we're going to come back and go over the parable in light of the sermon tonight. Verse 15 said, "And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country." He went. But I like verse 20. "And he arose and came to his father." I've been preaching on this matter of the goings and comings of the Bible. Scripture said that Abraham went and came. It talked about Naomi, went and came. Ruth, chapter 2, verse 3, she went and came. I noticed in David's life, in chapter 17, is filled up with it, he went and came. Book of Jonah has it in there, went and came. Jesus came, and then he went, the Scripture said. But that's the process of life. From the beginning to the end, as life is filled with goings, and they're filled with comings. Went and came. And as I said Sunday morning, that's not necessarily bad. It just depends on where you're going and where you're coming from. And as here in this text, we notice that this was a process in the prodigal's life. He went. But oh, thank God he came. I guess we could all confess that there's been a lot of went in us. But I'm glad to report I came. And I don't want to look at this so much on the side of the Son. We must include him. That's the parable. But I want us to see the goings and comings of the Son in light of the Father. Well, the Father can make a whole lot of difference in your goings and comings. Hasn't he made a lot of difference in yours? He's made a lot of difference in mine, I know. So let's go back and we'll pick up in verse number 11. And we're going to look at the goings and comings of this boy, but in that we want to see the Father. See the Father. As he associates himself with our goings and comings, and I'm glad that he does. "A certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into the far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. He began to be in want." I'm sure he wasn't expecting that. A lot of things we don't expect along the journey. "And he went and joined himself with a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. He would fain have filled his belly with the husks which the swine did eat. No man gave unto him." There's a lot unfolding in his travels. "And when he came to himself..." Well, that's where it all began. I'm glad for the beginning of the end, sending me back to the Father. "He said, 'How many hired servants my father has bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father. I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven before thee, no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. What a joyous day. Ain't that the highlight of your life and all the journeys you've taken is when you ended up with the Father. Man, I can remember that day to this day. Highlight of my life is when I found out I had a father. Come face to face with my heavenly Father. But I done told you already, that's the whole purpose that Jesus came into this world as a man, was to show you there was a heavenly Father. I want to introduce you, he would say, to my Father. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was a great way off, the father saw him, had compassion, ran, fell on his neck, and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven in thy sight, no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead. Sounds like my condition. Your condition. And is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began. Boy, that's where it all starts. To be merry. I notice in this parable, when we pick up with it, the son is going. He's headed out. He's moving on. But I want to look at that in light of the father, who ironically gives him the freedom to do so. Isn't that amazing? He's going, and the father says, okay. But then we're going to see that the next stage is the boy is gone. Ask anybody around the house, where's that? Don't know, he's gone. Somewhere out there, he's gone. But in light of that, we not only see the liberty of the Father, the freedom of the Father, and you'll understand in a moment what I'm saying, but we see the faithfulness of the Father. He may be gone, but the Father ain't went nowhere. But we end up in those last verses, and I rejoice so much in that. He's going, he's gone. And brothers and sisters, when we get on over to verse number 20, the going is gone. The going is gone. I love to feel that in my heart and know that I've got nowhere to go. It's all gone. There's no far country for me to venture to. That's dead to me. The going is gone. And it is there we're going to magnify not only the feelings of the Father, faithfulness of the, or liberty or freedom of the Father, the faithfulness of the Father, but we're going to look at the feelings of the Father. Did you know God has feelings? He's not sitting on some icy throne up there, sending out his dictates toward us and commands. God has emotion or feelings. And he loves to express it to his children. But now you can't appreciate it until the going gets gone. It won't mean anything to you. But the going gets gone, and you and the Father get on the same page, honey. Hey, something comes out of that.
Yes.
Let's go back to that thought. So look at each one of these for a moment. It is no doubt that the Son is going. He's leaping out into the unknown. Truth of the matter is, we can look and see that trouble and only trouble can come out of this. Not only in the prodigal, but we can look back over our past in some moves that we've made and said, man, looks like I could have seen that would have been trouble. It's pretty simple to say that any time you're putting a distance between you and the Father, there's going to be trouble. Anytime you're headed in a direction away from heaven, there's going to be trouble. But just as you've experienced it in your own life and you've experienced it in the lives of others, as you wanted to save them the heartache and sorrow and trouble of that far country and the depth, well, wouldn't we like to save people from that? We read in the papers constantly here on the news. I read where since 2021, over 200,000 young people have died. Fentanyl and things of that nature. 200,000. But yet when you try to tell one, you don't need to be doing that. You need to stop that. You can't stop him. You cannot stop this boy. His mind is made up. Godly counsel means nothing to him. He is on the move, convinced. And he is his own man. The Son is going. You can't stop him. As I pondered this, I realized that another problem here is that I don't think the Son can stop himself. I don't think it's within him to stop himself. Thought about what Jeremiah said, can the Ethiopian change his skin or the lepers his spots? He has a drive within him. He has a desire in him. A destructive desire. But haven't we all? We were basically born with that. You ain't going to stop him. But all left to myself, I could not stop. These vices, whatever they may be, are unstoppable from the outside, but they're unstoppable from the inside. We are victims of our nature. They pull at us. But the only hope in this text of this boy not going, you would think would be the one that had the authority to stop him. But in the text here, it's as if the Father said, well, matter of fact, he says nothing. Because it does no good to say anything. Not at this point in time. And the Father knows that if he were to bind him with leg irons once he's let loose, you're just delaying what's going to happen. He's going to go. Lock him up in the servant's quarter, the Father could have said. But if he ever breaks that lock and gets out that door, don't look for him, he's gone. Amen. Or don't put a spy to watch his every move and say, now if you ever see him, if he even looks that way. Oh, I'm going to tell you, if that servant turns his head, the boy's gone. You can't legislate sin. We can create all the laws that we can create and we have in America. And I'm not necessarily against all that, but you and I as children of God, I've got sense enough to know those laws do not change hearts. And they can't stop anything. The Father simply allows him to do what is in him and what he wants to do. He does not get between him and that longing to go to the far country. He is not going to hold him. And besides that, all the misery that it would have caused at home had he held him. All that was within him would have spilled out all over the plantation. The very desire to want to go means he's not satisfied with anything here. And so he's going to grumble, he's going to complain, he's going to try to influence others. Try to get them to agree with him. Don't you think daddy's too harsh? Don't you dad think that? Look at these leg irons he put on me. I'm telling you, I don't want. I'm tired of this. I wish somebody, can't y'all see? But the Father's not going to allow that to heaven to happen. As a matter of fact, he ain't going to make anybody go to heaven that don't want to go. Did you know that? Heaven's not going to be filled with a bunch of people drug in there. I mean, is this all the music we got? Worthy is the Lamb? My goodness. That's what they'd be saying. They'd be miserable and they'd make all of us miserable. We'll just have this world and we'll go to a world where the Father sets the tempo and the tone of the singing going on there. Heavenly Father. But what the Father is doing is he is allowing this boy to move on. He's going. The Father allows him the freedom to move on. He does not get in his way because here's the truth of the matter. This thing of going is either going to be settled where you're at or it'll just have to be settled wherever you're going. And you nor I nor anybody else knows what all that's going to involve. I was speaking to a young married couple who asked me to come and talk to them. They had told me the circumstance and situation. They were honest about it. She was sort of getting kind of close to another man on the job. Finally come home and told her husband with a couple of kids, I'm done with marriage. I'm ready to go. Asked me if I'd come and sit down and talk to them. And so I did after much seeking the Lord and praying about it. I went and I sat down and I looked across that table at that young lady. And I said, I'm not going to waste a lot of time here tonight. All I want to ask you is, are you done with this marriage? Are you done with this man? Are you willing to accept what you don't know what the outcome is going to be, the ramifications of leaving those two kids and then having to go to court to find out when you can have them and they can have them? And having to go to your godly mom and daddy and tell them what you've decided and walk away from everything that you've known since a child, being raised with godly parents in godly situations, walking away from the church. Are you willing to do that? And here's what the Lord had pressed on my heart to say to her. Say to her, if you are, I beg you, do it quickly and save everybody a lot of heartache and pain. If you gotta go, get your things and go, and we'll just see how it turns out. It could have went any direction, I'll tell you. But she bowed her head. She had never thought about it through, thought it through, and she began to cry, and she said, no, I'm not willing to pay that kind of price. I don't know what I was thinking. And she got right. She didn't have to make the journey. She settled it right there. That's what being in the house of God is good for, is because you may have a little going in you that a little preaching might settle that. Little praying might settle that. Little counsel might settle that. Little fellowship might settle that. You may have some things that are bouncing around your heart, some thoughts that would send you out into no man's land.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
I think I'd rather get that settled right here.
Amen.
But the Father would say to you, as He would say to me, to say, okay, you don't want to settle it here, then you'll just have to find out how it comes out. And everybody's journey has a different story. So you see what I'm saying? He's going. And the Father said, okay. Okay. He does not stop him. It'll be settled here or there. But let me just bounce over. He's in the far country. We now know what unfolds there, but he's gone. He's gone. He's wasting his father's living riotously, wickedly. He's living it up. But the only thing we can say, if you want to summarize it, is he's gone. Now, whatever that means, we don't know in the fullest sense. I mean, if we were at home, that's what we'd have to say. Where's your brother at? I have no idea. He's gone. Don't know what he's going through. But it ain't good. From the way he left, I'm sure it ain't good. He's gone! And in being gone, we notice that everything has changed about this boy. He's went into a place that has totally turned his life upside down on every level. He has sold himself to the dictates and the lusts and desires of that world. He's jumped in there lock, stock, and barrel. He has become a slave to sin. He's as deep as you can go. He's gone as far as gone can go. He is out of reach. He's gone. He's gone. Matter of fact, if you'd have went, you wouldn't have known him. The scars of sin, the changes that have taken place, the losses, everything about him is different. His appearance, his actions, his attitude, who he is, what he has become. He's different! Boy, ain't it sad to see someone raised in a home to where they had half a chance and meet them 5 years later and say, "Who? You are who? Where have you been?" This world will never leave you the same. That's what he gets you. Even in the natural, God will allow you to be born with a body almost of perfection, ready to live. But to take that and throw it away, it just mars it, scars it. I say to you, he's gone. He was going, but now he's gone. He went all the way. He's gone. And everything about him and that world is... different. It's changed on every level. But hey, if we're not careful, we will so consume ourselves with that world and what's going on out there. To we'll almost, even though we're here, we'll almost experience what they're experiencing out there in a different way. I have come across mothers and fathers who had sons and daughters out there, and they're constantly tracking them and trying to get the news as to every step they're taking, everything they're drinking, every woman they're running around, every marriage they've ever had. And they're bringing that, the mother or father's bringing that into their home, and they're living that at home. Well, did you hear Johnny's out? I heard Billy was out there. And it's almost affected, it has affected almost like you've drug that into here. But it's not so with the Father. If you want to go, go. But honey, it is here that I see, though the change has taken place and that He is gone, nothing has changed about the Father. I see His faithfulness on every level. I even see His faithfulness in relationship to the Son, because the Son is never less than the Son. He's the Son whether He's home or gone. I see His faithfulness to the family. I mean, He hasn't sold the farm and let the ranch get dilapidated. He hasn't fooled around and give up because of where. No! He's still the Father. He is faithful on every level. He's gone, but thank God the Father remains the same. Aren't you glad? Honey, this world's going to hell. And a lot of folks have decided to go with it. But I ain't going to sit around in a spirit and attitude as if I've somehow been drugged into that, worrying about all of that. What I'm going to do is keep my mind on heavenly things and realize that I got a heavenly Father that might be able to reach out there and grab somebody and bring them home. So I'll just keep things like they ought to be when they get home. The hope is not in the boy turning. The hope is in the Father who will be there when the boy does return. Brother Lester said it. He's a saving God. He's still saving. He remains the same. It is of the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. The farm is not for sale. He's not forsaking the animals. He's not turning away. Nothing, 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 nothing changes with the Father. That ought to excite us to know what kind of Heavenly Father we have. Say, man, what all's happening in Washington? I don't know. What all's going to come out of that? I don't know. But I'm not concentrating on that. My hope's not in them changing. My hope is in Him who never changes. Woo! I love it, don't you? I love it. Every good and every perfect gift cometh from above, down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Aren't you glad you've got a heavenly Father? That's the thing that set Jesus apart from every other human that was ever born before Him. They all had a Lord. Abraham did. A friend in God. David had a shepherd. Their strong tower. But they none called him Father. Not one of the Old Testament saints directly called him their father. And that's why in the New Testament they wanted to kill him. Because he said, I have God as my father. Well, I'm going to tell you something. His father is my father. I'm so glad for the faithfulness of the Father. I have no expectations of humanity. I can't even trust my own heart. But I'm going to tell you something. I've got a wonderful Father that remains the same. The same. You probably heard about husband and wife riding down the road. Picked up. They'd kept it since they'd gotten married. She's sitting over against the door and he was over there driving. She said, honey, what has changed? He said, I don't know what you're talking about. She said, used to, for the first year, 2 or 3 years, said, we'd get in this truck and ride down the road and said, they'd think the two of us was one. We rode so close together. He rode on a little way. He was silent. Finally, he turned over and looked at her. He said, well, I'll tell you one thing. I ain't moved. Well, I want to tell you something. A lot of things have changed in this world, but I'm going to tell you, I know a Heavenly Father that hadn't moved. He hadn't moved. So in the Son going, we see the Father's freedom and liberty. If you're going to go, I can't tell you what's going to come out of it. I can't. Just have to find out on your own. He's gone, man. After you get out there, it's going to hold on to you. It's going to grip you. It's going to change you. But oh, he's so faithful. I'm glad he's not making me do what I'm doing right now. He did not make. He does not. I hope you're not married because you got a certificate that says you're married and you feel like you have to stay married. But here's the thing I want you to see. He is going, he is gone. The Father's freedom, the Father's faithfulness. But then we find out. We pick up with it, of course, in verse 17 when he came to himself. And then in verse number 20, he arose and came to his Father. And you can tell by his directions, you can tell by his speech, you can tell by his humility, you can tell by his repentance that the going is absolutely gone. It's over. You won't have to call the police to keep an eye on him. You won't have to threaten him about locking him up in the servants' quarters. You won't have to drag no chains out and say, boy, you ever do that again, this is what's going to happen to you. No, you can tell it's over. Oh, yeah. The going is gone. Aren't you glad for the day when you realize you got nowhere to go? Was it John chapter number 6? Jesus was preaching to them about his body being the bread and they got upset and many left him. And he turned to Peter and he said, will you leave me also? And he said, leave you? Where can I go? Thou hast the words of life. You got everything that I need. I got nowhere to leave. I got nowhere. The going's gone. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I think we could all be honest that there have been times along the journey we've been discouraged. Yes. We've been down. Yes. Things ain't turned out just like we thought they ought to. But I preached enough here for you to know how I was raised. Without a mama. Left at a year and a half old, a dad drunk all of his days, never remarried. I was raised in that environment, drug in and out of bars and things of that nature. Buried 4 brothers because of alcohol and a dad. My Lord. I know everything that world's got to offer. I mean, I can remember hiding, getting down, you know, they get drunk and they get in a fight over the silliest stuff. And sometimes they'll shoot it. My brother-in-law and a friend of him was shooting pool. And in those pool halls, and when you want to play the next game, you come lay your quarter down. Anybody remember that? You ever been in where you just lay your quarter down? It's your turn. And they laughed at him. My brother-in-law said, "Yeah, you ain't playing the next game." He walked outside, come in, shot the buddy of my brother-in-law dead, and shot my brother-in-law, and he just did pull out of it. Over a quarter. A game. And I'd see those as a kid. I'm talking about as a kid, fragile. I would get down under those pool tables while the fights were going on and the bottles were being thrown and all of that. I went home many a time when there wasn't anything to eat. I'm talking about many a time. Slept on the outside in a little old hole in the cave at the back of the house when Dad was drunk and would become righteous with all of that. I say this jokingly. My grandson, he was just playing out in the yard and he was playing around and he looked up at me and he said, "Dad, Danny," he said, "did you ever play survival?" I said, "What?" He said, "You ever played survival?" I said, "Yes, sir, son, for the first 14 years of my life." I played survival. I haven't always been 100% content, but I'm going to tell you something. I've never looked back and saw anything that I thought I had any desire to go back to. The going's gone. It's gone. It's over! It's done! And don't you love to be with God's saints? And they've gone and they've done and they've went and they've come, but you can take their hand and look into their eyes and know that you're on the same page. You're both at the house because you want to be home and the going's gone! Now where you go? I ain't got nowhere to go. Know where I want to go. Now I can go back there to Cleveland, Clinton Bar, some of them other bars that I was brought into as a kid, and back Shaley's in West Virginia and some of them places. I done forgot. I don't even think about them when I go by. I don't even know if they're open anymore. But I know one thing. They get no business from me. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad when the drug addict, the going is gone and the business is over? No more deals on my corner. It's all gone. Say, "Well, why?" I've come home to the Father. But here's the thing about it. When he came home to the Father, you can tell by the way he's making up his speech. He's just wondering how this is going to come out. Because he really didn't know his father. His father's always been the father. Nothing changed about him. He just couldn't grasp it. Well, when you can't grasp it, you don't know what you got. In the heavenly Father. If this world ever knew what they had, they'd run back as quick as they could. They wouldn't be. I mean, they'd be running to the Father. But you can tell he's a little apprehensive. He don't know how this. I'm going to go back and make this speech. I'm going to tell Dad. I mean, he's never been before him on these grounds and levels. I've got my big speech made up. And I say to you that through this, son, we not only see this liberty and freedom of the Father. If you're going to go, you'll have to find out there what this is all about. I guess. But while you're out there living your life, understand, you're not affecting heaven at all. It's the same. The gospel's the same. The cross is the same. Salvation's the same. We ain't shutting this down if you decide to go. No, we're not going to get together in gloom and doom and say, well, Bob decided to leave, and I guess we might as well not. Else don't even have church. Oh, no. It ain't going to change. But here's the thing about it. The going is gone, and it is here we see the feelings and the emotions. Here we catch a glimpse of how God feels. Now the boy's coming home and I'm sure he's repenting and he don't know what to expect and his head is down and he's coming to, and he looks up and here comes the father. Truth of the matter is, he never told the boy to leave. He never run him off. He never told him to go. He never will. But here's the thing about it. If you ever decide to come home, arms are going to be wide open. Come home, come home. He that is athirst, let him come. The Spirit says, come. The bride says, come. I mean, the Father. I'm walking down that little old alley. I'm going to tell you, when I run into him face to face, there he was, arms wide open, and brought me into the family. I felt at home. The going was gone. And I'll tell you, the way I was raised, I didn't know if people would trust me or not. Stealing was not, we never got whipped for stealing. It's just bad if you got caught. Lying was just what we did. Foul language was our first language. We had no mother. Understand, there was no mother to teach us any different. All of those characteristics of that world and of that life have been alive within me. And I met the Father through the gospel of His Son.
Yes, Lord.
And I didn't realize it. I didn't realize it. God had done a wondrous work in my heart. Had changed me from the inside out. So that when I went to that little old storefront church, the little old building that draw curtains for Sunday school and all that, I wasn't there long until they come to me and said, "Do you want to sing in the choir?" I said, "Are you sure? Me?" Yeah. I said, "Well, I've been taking them. I didn't steal it, though. I got one of the songs. I never heard Amazing Grace. They sang those songs a few times. I'd take them." My sister-in-law will tell you right now, to this day, she said, "Me and Joe couldn't sleep at night. Said you was up 2 o'clock in the morning above us singing all those hymns. I couldn't lay them down."
Amen.
Amazing Grace, and I just cried and I just sang. And so I asked the pastor, I said, "Can I take one of these home?" He said, "You surely can." Then I wasn't there too long, and they said, I'd been there a couple of years. They said, "You know, you think you could teach a Sunday school class?" I was 15, 16 years old, but I tell you what I'd done. I had consumed the Word of God. I started reading it in Genesis to Revelation, Genesis to Revelation. I figured if you're supposed to read a book, you're supposed to read it from the beginning to the end. I consumed that book as a teenager. And still do to this day.
Yes.
And I guess through my testifying stuff, they realized I was picking up a little truth. They said, "You want to share that?" I said, "Well, I think I would." And then one day somebody said, "Well, how about you preaching for us?" I've been preaching on the street corners. I just had never got to preach in the church. And then it progressed to one day somebody said, "Hey, we'd like for you to preach a revival for us." Until here I am right now. You say, "Preacher, what has happened?" I'm going to tell you what has happened. The Father has taken that which was wrong and made it right in my life. And he didn't do it through a bunch of regulations and a bunch of commands, a bunch of facts and dictates. He ran out and grabbed me, kissed me on the cheek, told me about the Lamb and shared the Lamb with me. And all of heaven rejoices when one comes home. So how's the Father feel about that, huh? If you're a starchy Baptist, you may not want to ask. He's liable to hold off and throw a party on you, and you just really don't know how to handle that. Did you know God is a God of feeling? You can't be saved and not feeling. God is what? Love. Can you love and not feel it?
No.
I mean, you didn't come home when you saw that sweetheart. I'm going to tell you, when I saw it, when I fell in love with her, I didn't just go around and say, oh, I think I'm in love. I hope I don't have to drive all the way up there next weekend. No. She had no problem understanding I was in love. Isn't it amazing how God can take the divine and get it mixed in with the physical? Somehow he does that. Here this boy comes. There's emotion in this. There's emotion all in this parable. God wants us to see that emotion. He wants us to see. He wants us to feel it. It is truth to be felt. And I think the first experience we have with God, one of the first anyway, we have with the Father through the Son, is we feel something. God is love. That means he's feeling. And when he sheds abroad that love in that heart, he lets us feel. The night I got saved that evening, I lay my head on my bed that night. I had no teachings of the, I called it amenities of salvation. But that night, there was such an overwhelming peace, I had no words for it. That's the first night. You can't have peace and not feel it. You say, well, I don't believe in feelings. Well, you don't have no peace and you don't have no love. If you did, you feel it. Now, I don't believe we get to heaven on feelings, but honey, I want to feel it as I go. And that's what's happening. Do you see? Did you see Brother Gene? He's singing these songs, and what's coming out of those eyes is feeling. These girls and Shane up here singing, we were feeling it. I'm feeling it now. The going's gone, and I feel good about it, and the Father feels good about it. And I'm going to tell you, it was the day that his feelings took over my feelings, and we come together. And it's called joy unspeakable and full of glory.
Yes, Lord.
The Father, he found out, was a Father who loved him and had feelings for him. Your heaven, you're not just a name or a number in heaven, like on some kind of a banking account with some CEO that's overlooking the figures. But what you have on the throne with his Son at his side is a God who loves you so much that he gave his only begotten Son for you. Now, this old world can understand why you go to a ball game. It's all right. And why you can go out there, they understand you can go out there and give so much emotion to it. because somebody hit a home run or somebody kicked a field goal or something. Thank you, brother. I don't know my sports as good as you do. I was wanting to say pigskin. Ain't that what that is around there? That's what I say. Anyway, let me do the preaching. And then we come to the house of God and sit in His presence. And people raise their hand and tears come to their eyes because there's something moving inside.
Yes.
About these truths of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
And they want to call it emotion. Well, I don't, if you want to call it that, I don't care.
Amen.
All I know is it feels good.
Yes, it does.
Ah, oh, this boy came with all kinds of feelings. And the Father was waiting for him in feelings. And the Father set up the whole home place to feel. I'm going to tell you, heaven is set to do one thing, and that is to rejoice in the redemption that has taken place for you and me. You say, what's heaven going to be about? Rejoicing and praising God and worshiping the Son. Because of redemption. And if you can't get, if it don't move you, you don't want to go to heaven. And I don't want to get off on this, but I will say it in closing. It seems as though nowadays that worship's not worship, it's entertainment. Seeing how much man can move you. Boy, it's so easy to move people. That they don't want something like this. Foreign. I'm going to tell you something. If there was 500 of me, you know where they'd be tonight? Right here. Praising the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That He has remained the same and welcomed me home with open arms. Come home. I know y'all can remember, ever preachers use this illustration. Brother Allen may have used it, I don't know. About the young man that had turned his back on home and went away as a prodigal son. Said to be a true story. But he, as the prodigal son, got right. And he wanted to go back home. The only way of traveling into the country where he was at was by train. He ran by his little house into the town. He sent a letter to his mom and dad, up in age now. Apologized the best he could with pen and paper. And told him he'd gotten things right, but he said, I understand how I've done you, how I left you. And I don't know how you feel, but I want to come home. But he said, the only way I could know, I'll be riding that train by the house. And if it's okay with you, would you put a little white handkerchief in one of those limbs and I'll know to get off at the depot and walk my way back. So as he was riding that train alone, he was telling the buddy, or a guy he was riding with, stranger, but he was riding with him, and about his circumstance, and said, I'm going back home, but I don't know if they want me. It's a long story. I won't get into it. But I told them that if they just leave a handkerchief in one of the limbs, and we're coming upon that bend, right around the bend, where my mom and dad's house is, the old farm place, and I'm afraid to look. I just don't want to look. And, sir, I just wonder if you'd look for me. And as he's going around that bend, the man beside him said, son, you need to look. He lifted up and he looked and he said about every limb on there had something white hanging on it. Oh, they said, we want you. Honey, I'm going to tell you, he wanted you. That's why he hung his son on a limb called the cross to let you know his arms is wide open. Come on home. And to get home and realize, Brother McIntosh, that the battle's over for the far country. You're not waking up with a pull anymore. You're not thinking about what's there and saying, man, I don't know, I may have to go back. No, it's over. The going is gone. And you and the Father feel the same about it. Joy unspeakable, peace that passeth all understanding. He went. Didn't he go? It said he went. But didn't he come? He went and came. I hope your story doesn't end with went. I hope it ends in came. Our Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the liberty. Thank you for how you settle it all within us by the time we get home. Went and came. Goings and comings. The going is gone. In Jesus' name we pray.